This is a True Foundations podcast. Real time, real life, real answers.
We're going to be in Revelation 19 today. We have one left after this in the series on the kingdom. And I'm going to leave that over until the new year. So today we're going to focus on something that I think is very, very important in the day that we live in. Now, as we know, Satan has a three-pronged strategy in terms of powers against all the people of this world, but in particular, the church. And those strategies are summarized in the area of anti-God government, anti-God religion, and today we're going to look at anti-God culture. We know, of course, that Satan's kingdom is divided, and even though these different aspects of powers that stand behind the scenes, they have a common aim, but they have a very uneasy alliance. So sometimes they seem to be working together, but other times they just fall out. And that's the history of the world. That's the way it goes. But we need to understand something about ungodly, anti-Christian culture in particular in the day that we are in. So I'm going to read a good chunk of this chapter 19, starting at the first verse. After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation, glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, because he has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his servants that was on her hands." A second time they said, "Hallelujah, her smoke ascends for ever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God the Almighty has begun to reign. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. She was permitted to wear fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb." He also said to me, "These words of God are true." Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you and your brothers who have the testimony about Jesus. Worship God, because the testimony about Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So, of course, this is a vision. Visions must be interpreted. It's not happened yet. Nevertheless, what has been happening all along and is of special interest to us in the day that we live in is that there is an ungodly culture which is rising up. It is actually the spear thrust of what is taking place in the world today, especially in the Western world. It is the spear thrust of Satan's opposition to the people of God. There are other things happening, but this is where the focus is in the day that we live in. For this season, for how long, I have no idea. And in the vision, this ungodly, anti-Christian culture is spoken of as being the prostitute who has corrupted the earth with sexual immorality. Now, what we need to understand is there is an Old Testament reference from this. We see from Israel as a nation that she often went into an adulterous relationship with the surrounding societies. It's the same idea. Adopted their lifestyle, adopted their ungodly cultural expressions. So this is the culmination of all of that. It rises up and it falls. And sometimes in history, it is particularly obvious and strong. And when it talks about a sexual immorality, it is not only talking about that. That is like the flagship of ungodly culture. What happens is this. People adopt increasingly an ungodly culture, and it is spearheaded, you will see it all around, is that sexual immorality becomes its badge of honour, if you like. You're nobody if you don't agree with sexual immorality. We don't even need to go through the list. We know what it's like. It's getting worse. But here is the issue that we need to think about before we come to God's absolute and final solution and where this is all going. Because we do not know what the day will bring. We do not know how far along history we are in this. We do not know the day of his return. We cannot know, but we need to live in the light of it, and we need to have an understanding of our day, and we need to have an understanding of where this is all going. So let me tell you what this notorious prostitute does. How anti-Christian, ungodly culture, how it affects society and sometimes Christians as well, sadly. This is what it does. And you will have seen this over the last couple of decades. It softens people up to receive ideas that they know are wrong, but somehow the ideas settle and infiltrate, and they have a way of changing the way people see things, their worldview, their view on ungodly behavior. They have a way of doing that. We see it all over, whether it's media, whether it's films, programs, whatever it is, they have a way of doing that. And that is happening to such an extent today that we would never have thought possible, even in recent times. So that is the approach. And the approach is designed to do something. It's not the approach in itself. That's not the aim of it. The aim of it is this, is to make people compliant. Now, here is where there is a relationship between what the powers that be say and allow and even legislate and ungodly culture. In this day, the ungodly culture comes first. It softens people up. It introduces ideas. And ideas settle in and they become belief systems. And so people believe differently. They think they are in control of the way they think. They believe falsely that they can determine themselves exactly what it is that they do, think and do and believe, but they can't because they are entrapped by it. This is the way things go. This is the work of the enemy. And so the enemy is seeking through ungodly culture to make people compliant. Now here we are, we're Christian people. And as Christian people, we are and should be law-abiding people. But I want to make a distinction between being law-abiding and compliance. It is very, very different. And so what happens is ungodly culture comes in and it will use anything to make people compliant to its own purposes, because that will destroy society. That's what it's about. So there are two things that ungodly culture will do in its method. The first is compliance, and the second is fear. And we live in a day where we are seeing absolutely ridiculous compliance. I'm not just talking about a COVID thing. I'm talking bigger than that, beyond that. We are becoming, as a people everywhere, are becoming compliant to those powers that are out there that bring suggestions and ideas that gnaw away at good Christian values. And so compliance comes along, and for Christians this is particularly dangerous, because by nature, or we should be, law-abiding. And we might even think it's the same, and it isn't. And so this compliance softens people up for what the enemy wants to do next, whatever it is, because I don't know what it is. But at the same time, this compliance accelerates and produces fear in people. Now, here's something to think about. We're in this strange spot today in society. And look at us, we're all complaining. Not saying you shouldn't, that's not the point of it. It's not the biggest deal in the world, but something else might be. And some people are afraid, without any good reason to be afraid. And so the enemy comes along, and it finds the weak spot that people have. And what we have to do, especially as Christian people, we have to make decisions. Are we law-abiding, or are we compliant? Now, it's not always easy to know, is it, looking on the outside? But we should ask the question. We need to think about it. Are we law-abiding, or are we compliant? Now, let's think about law for a moment. What is God's purpose for law? It's to put boundaries on evil, isn't it? It's about peace. It's about safety. It's about caring for the weak. That's good law. But when law is expressed in other ways, in order to make people compliant and fearful, now it has tipped over the balance. And we must think about that, because compliance is not a godly thing. Law-abiding is. But what if the law becomes anti-Christian? Now we have a different issue. We are seeing an emergence of anti-Christian laws in the Western world. Where do we stand with it? At what point do we say enough is enough? Do we just knuckle under and comply? Or do we continue to be law-abiding people and push against the powers? These are things that we need to think about, because we are living in that kind of day. Now, not that that's everything by any means, because if you read the media, you won't get a true answer of what's happening in the world at all. But there are many people who are saying enough is enough in our society. Things have been pushed too far. Decency has gone out of the window. Immorality has taken the upper hand and has become the norm. And anything else is not acceptable. And there are many people, just ordinary people, not necessarily Christians. You see, this is how God, he's at work. He has his people, but he has underneath all of that, there are people that maybe they don't know him, but they do know the difference between good and evil. And there are those who recognize that sometimes enough is enough. And there is a kickback against the ungodly culture. And we will see that more and more in the days that come. We will see that Not everybody will be compliant. Not everybody will roll over and do as they are told. You see, to be a Christian in the world is not about doing as you're told. It's about honouring God, worship Him, and be law-abiding. But we need to understand what law-abiding is. And for the Christian, and if there's folks listening, and if this gets to anything a little bit wider, which would be good if we could do that, is that Christians should ask themselves certain questions. Is my response to what is happening in society today, am I compliant? Am I in fear? Because if you are either of them, then you are not living in the fullness of the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is the only answer to this world. That is the real answer to the decline in the culture that we are a part of. Now, culture is a complex issue. So we have all this culture of immorality, the woke business, the cancel culture, which is, it's just beyond. I mean, it's absolute nonsense and craziness. And yet, on the other hand, there's the protection of degenerate cultures that do weird stuff. Now, that's protected. Cultures that are essentially reflecting good things, there's not a lot of place for them. So it's complex, it's mixed. But nevertheless, the main thrust, without doubt, is this whole issue of the notorious prostitute who comes to infiltrate, to make people compliant and fearful, so that somehow Satan can take a grasp of people and crush them and cause them in the end to bow to him. This is what all this is about. It's about worshiping him. Whether people know it, whether they understand it, whether they have a clue or not, this is what it's all about. And yet, in the midst of that, in the midst of a day which is so troubling, a day that we don't know how long it will last, we do not know if there will be a shift in society, and things are rebalanced in a more healthy position, we have no way of knowing those things. But as God's people, we must live above. We must not be in fear, and we must not be compliant to Satan's ideas, ideology, methods. The remarkable thing is this: in the vision, something else is immediately brought forward. And it's the famous passage of that great banquet, the feast of the marriage of the Lamb, the one who was slain to crush the power of sin and the enemy, as he calls all his people to himself to celebrate with him his great victory over the prostitute, ungodly culture. It's in the vision. It is what is going to take place. And we should draw great encouragement from that now in our day. Because if we are not compromised, if we are not living in fear, if we have not complied with his methods and his ideas, then there we are, freely invited into that wonderful celebration, because this prostitute has been thrown down. See, that is the way God works. And we need to have eyes to see it. We need to have the confidence that whatever is happening in the day that we are in is only temporary. It is the enemy trying his hardest, but he must fail. He cannot conquer. Now, what is interesting here is that there is a description of God's people wearing the robes that demonstrate she has been made righteous. So we must learn to live righteous now. We must be able to discern what is right and what is good and what is true. And we must live in that way. And we must not allow anybody to press us down. I'm looking forward to the day when this hall is full. I wish there were more folks in today, but they're not. They have their reasons, and some of them are legitimate, and some of them are not. But whatever comes or goes, we need to be trying our robes on now. We need to be being measured, ready for a great banquet. I always struggle a little bit with this vision, in the sense of this. I'm not sure I want to be called a bride. How'd you deal with that? Hey, you see, women have always thought, oh, well, you know, women this, we're pressed down a bit. You guys, you get everything. I think, I'm not sure about this. I don't even know what to do with it. I'm glad it's a vision, and visions need interpreting. And it's symbolism, because when everything is said and done, we all need to start measuring our robes so that we know without any doubt whatsoever that we are not living under fear, but we are walking with that wonderful sense of purpose, like a bride does when she comes down. There she is walking down, and the bridegroom is watching. She's looking pretty good. And there she is. I can't put my mindset into how she feels. But, you know, you look and you smile and you see the smile. You get a sense of it. It's wonderful. We need to get practicing for that great day. We need to make sure that the robes fit. Everything else must be put to the side. We dare not come under the influence of ungodly culture. We live above, differently, and we live well. We're not anarchists, but we should be nonconformists. We do what is necessary. We do what is proper. Some things we do, things that we don't even want to do, but we do it. But we have to know where the dividing line is. And in the end, we serve God. Satan wants us to worship him, and if he can beat people down enough, that's what they are actually doing. But his day is coming. The prostitute, she's been judged. God has this all at hand. We will see the end of anti-Christian culture, not necessarily in our lifetime, but we will see the end of it. So why don't we, with our eyes that are fixed on Christ, that great day, why don't we have a little bit of celebration in our hearts along the way? Why don't we get those robes on and make sure they fit? Why don't we live lives where the righteousness that Christ has bought for us becomes our lifestyle? Then the world will have an alternative, and it will see a better way. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. True Foundations is headed by David J. Jones, a preacher and teacher of the Word of God. His passion is to help individual Christians discover their true identity in Christ and to learn how grace operates in their lives. Currently residing in Canada, he has taught in both North America and the UK and has listeners all over the world. If you have questions about anything you've heard today, please email us at info@truefoundations.ca. Or for more information on True Foundations resources, please visit our website at truefoundations.ca.